Welcome back to another episode of Blessed Is She That Believe. We're in season 4, episode 23. This episode is called Samson 2K25, and that's 2025. Okay. We're gonna talk about it. Let's go to the Lord in prayer first. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you right now for this day. Thank you, Father God, for this time and this place, Father, that we get to spend with you. Father, I just thank you right now for each and every listener that you just open their ears, open their hearts to receive your word. Father God, I pray right now for the men, Lord. I pray, Father God, that you reclaim your sons, Father God, that you snatch them back from the hand of the enemy in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God, to take their rightful place in your kingdom, Father. I ask right now that you just wake them up from satanic slumber in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. I ask right now that you just stir up in these men the purpose that you have placed in their hearts, Father God. Remove the scales from their eyes right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Father God. Father, I ask right now that you just allow them to begin to walk with you, Father God, and to do life with you, Father God. I ask right now that you just begin to call out to them in the mighty name of Jesus, Father. I thank you for your word that goes forth, Father God. Hide your servant behind the cross, Father God. Use her as your vessel, Lord, to speak your word, rightly dividing your word, Father God. With the sword of the spirit, and in Jesus' mighty name I pray, amen. So this is what is going on with me. I saw this this post on Threads. I don't know how many of y'all participate in social media or even participate in Threads, but Threads is like connected to Instagram. It's basically like a Instagram, Twitter. So, I got on Threads this morning. I probably should have did the podcast this morning because now it's like an hour before it needs to be posted, but it's okay. So I was on Threads and I saw this girl make a post about online dating. Y'all, I loathe, I despise, I detest online dating. And the reason why is because It just doesn't work for me. So that's why I don't like it. I know it works for everybody else, but it does not work for me. And I low-key feel like God is like, no, you're not going to do it. And I don't know what else to do with online dating. You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want nobody to break into my house to date me. Because I'm a homebody. I do go out, but I'm an extroverted introvert. Meaning that when my social battery wears down, I got to be in my house. I have to recharge my social battery. It's not that I don't like people. I don't like being around people all the time. I have people who, and it's so funny because I'm surrounded by a bunch of extroverted people. They're like, oh, come on, let's go. And I'm like, Maybe some of you identify with that. And the post on Threads was saying that, you know, maybe we need to move out of our comfort zones and actually try online dating. And the girl was someone who tried online dating several thousand times. And she finally met the person that she's married to and been married for a couple of years now. And she said that she, like my mindset, would, you know, despised it, didn't like it, it never worked for her. But she had to look on the bright side of it and realize that it's giving her opportunity to meet people that she never would have connected with otherwise. And when I was reading it, I said, you know, that does make a lot of sense. She was saying, you know, there are some people that they're just not in your circle. They don't like the same events you like, you know, but that doesn't mean that y'all can't do purpose together. Y'all can't do life together. But being that they don't like the same events and stuff, you're not going to see them at a concert if they don't like concerts. So you're not going to see them at a museum or an art gallery if they don't like those type of things. So online dating exposes you to people that don't travel in your circles, you know? And I say, you know, that is so true. So what I did is I use Facebook dating. If you didn't know, Facebook has a dating app section thing. And I got on that because I feel like that's a little bit safer than going to another app. But who knows? It's weirdos everywhere, okay? You go in a grocery store, you can meet a weirdo. But anyway, so I said all that to say, anyway, I'm back on online dating for a little while. I'm gonna give it a try. And y'all. Okay, so here's what I've been noticing. Not just with me being on online dating, but the conversations I have had with other women. Women that I go have brunch with, women from church, or, you know, just in general too. There seems to be a mass, I don't even know how to describe it. I guess it's a mass think piece of men are the prize. And I'm trying to find in what book, in what theory, in what scripture says that men are the prize. Now, I know that men listen to my podcast, and I just want to say this. if you happen to believe that you are the prize, I'm going to say, I wouldn't use that phrase. I'm going to say you are valuable, just as women are valuable. We're all valuable. And when y'all say the prize, I understand where y'all are coming from when you say that men are the prize. Y'all are coming from a place that y'all are tired of women who have misused you and taken your kindness for weakness and have taken advantage of your generosity. And women are treacherous now. And to be completely honest, this is why your words are so important, because if you go around calling yourself a savage, that's exactly how you're gonna act. But I digress. So anyway, back to the men. So I understand why y'all are saying y'all are prized, because y'all are literally saying it as a mantra to put value on something already valuable. Y'all are already valuable. Let me tell you something. When I say I cannot wait, I technically I can wait, and I am learning that waiting is better. But I'm just, for the lack of phrases that I have right now, I can say it. I am in anticipation. I am waiting in anticipation for the day that I have a high valuable man, a high value man. Because, and when I say a high value man, I mean like a king, a kingdom man, okay? Somebody that I could chase God with. That's what I'm waiting for. And it is very hard. It is very hard to wait. And it's very hard not to get discouraged. And it's very easy to become discouraged with what I see out here. That's why I'm leading into it with this. Y'all say you're the prize, and like I said, I understand why y'all have adopted that mantra, and it's because y'all have felt so disrespected by the behavior and the treatment of women as of late. Because women are on something else too. Women have literally turned into a whole savage, and they call themselves city girls or whatever like that. And I mean, we can go back. We can take this back. But we don't have time. I only got like an hour, and I'm going to try and cut it short with y'all, because, like I said, I got to get this uploaded so y'all can hear it in like an hour and a half. But basically, because of the fall of Adam and Eve, the whole world is jacked up. Okay, because of the sin of man, the world is jacked up. This is a fallen world. This is not what God had in mind when he created the world. Okay, it's ghetto here. And yeah, so if we go back to Genesis, which I wasn't planning on going back to Genesis, but I'm gonna summarize, okay? I'm gonna summarize this. I think that's the how you say it. I know I said summarize. Is it summarize? Whatever. Anyway, summarize. I know it's summarize, but isn't it a summarize? I'll look it up later. I'm sorry, y'all. Shit, I gotta go back to work. Anyway, so to summarize it, basically, when Adam and Eve sinned, God told Eve, your desire will be for your husband. Like, you know, the things that your husband wants. Like, you... I gotta go find it. This is not where I was gonna go. Okay. In Genesis chapter 3. After Adam said, this is your fault, God, for giving me this woman. Oh, okay. So the Lord started laying out the charges. Okay, here's your crime. And this is what, because you listened to the Lord God said unto the serpent, because you have done this, you are cursed above all cattle and above all every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. Okay. In verse 15 of chapter 3, and I'll put enmity between you and woman, and between your seed and her seed. It shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Verse 16, unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In sorrow you shall bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over thee. So, that's what he said. Your desire shall be, your desire shall be to your husband, and he shall rule over thee. Okay. So, in that, because the Lord God said that, it reinforces the fact that they were equal. God created us equally. Okay. Now, over the centuries and millennia, this has been abused. Men have abused women. Men have dominated women. And that was not God's original design for men and women. He made us equal. He took the rib from Adam and created Eve with the rib. Like, the rib is on the side. That's equality right there. You know what I'm saying? So, like I said, I wasn't trying to go all the way back like this, but I feel like I need to give context to where I'm going. Because of all of the abuse from men, because of the way men have treated women, and this is not for all men, because there are good men out there. Hard to believe, but there are good men out there. And there have been good men. But the wrongdoing of so many men have caused women to flip their lids. And now women have taken on a masculine role because they had to protect themselves. And because the men have gotten out of order. The men are out of place. The family design, how God designed it, according to Genesis, is God, husband, wife, children. That's the family design. That is it. Okay? But the men move themselves out of position. So what do women do when there's no man? And then we can go all the way into slavery with this and how... Y'all, I'm not doing all of that tonight. I'm not doing all that tonight. Because we won't ever get to the point. But the point is this. The men got out of position and the women took control. When the women got to take control of stuff, and sisterin, do not take offense to what I say, because if you take offense to what I say, you're going to miss the point. When the women have to step up into the position of the man, they're going to take on masculine qualities. They're going to take on masculine characteristics. because they have to defend their home. They got to step into that role. So of course they're going to do that. So what happened to the men? When the women had to step up because the men were out of place, what happened to the men, y'all? Now you got women for years, for past, I'm going to say the past 40 years, almost as long as I've been alive, at least for 40 years. It could be a little bit longer. You've seen divorce rates increase. You've seen more men going to, well, more black men going to prison at an astronomical rate compared to men of other races. And this is not a black, white, Asian, Hispanic. This is not that. I'm just throwing that statistic in there for context. So a lot of men are not in the home like it used to be. So the women have to be the mama and the daddy. Here's the problem. When the women have to play mama and daddy, because it was supposed to be a two-parent home, because that's how God designed it, that means there's a hole somewhere. There's a gap somewhere. Something is not covered, because the husband was supposed to be covering whatever he needed to cover. The wife was supposed to cover whatever she needed to cover. Together, they're covering everything and everybody, as the Lord is covering the union. So because the man is out of place, something is left uncovered. And a lot of times it's the children. So now you have these children growing up without a father in the home. There are some families where the mama left, okay? But for the most part, it's the man. So you got these children growing up without the father in the home. Or either, and sometimes, just sometimes now, the father was present, but they weren't present. They were there physically, but they were not present mentally, okay? So basically like an absent father syndrome going on. Because of that, you have these young men who grew up without a father in the home or a father figure, someone stable, someone bringing order to the home, not dominating the home, just bringing order and structure, okay? They grow up with chaos in their heart. You have girls growing up without a daddy. Do you realize like a father is the first love of a daughter? So if he's not there, who does she fall in love with? The phrase looking for love in all the wrong places comes to mind. That's how impactful the role of a father is in the home. Okay. Now, so fast forward to 2025. So now what? Now you've had generations of men and women, or boys and girls, growing up without dads in the home, without consistent structure. Yes, mamas, I applaud you. I am from a single parent home / a blended family. My mom was single for about 10, 11, 12 years of my life before she met my stepfather. So I have my very early developmental years, my parents were together. Then they got a divorce when I was around 3 or 4 years old. And then it was me and my mama for about 10, maybe 7, 8 years. Math could be off. And then which those 7, 8 years were the developmental years, like when it was really like necessary to, you know, and then she and my stepfather got married when I was 13. So I had blended family from 13 until I moved out of my parents' house. All right. Now, so I got like 3 different things going on there. And it makes a difference, y'all, when you have a man in the house, an active parent. When you have 2 active parents who are there building relationship with their children, it's one thing to have somebody there, but when you like a passive parent, like you don't want a passive parent. You want somebody who's actively involved in your life. That makes a difference. And to be honest, even even having a passive parent, I think, if I can remember, statistics showed that was better than having absolutely nobody, but it could be just as detrimental as having nobody. It's crazy. So women who have had to be single mothers, I applaud you and I salute you. And like I said, I'm a product of a single parent home / blended family home. Like, I get it. I saw my mama works, like, she did what she had to do. My mama was working at the Deli and Winn-Dixie. She was a parapro. She worked at the local college here. My mama did whatever she had to do to put food on the table. So I get it. But there were gaps missing. And those gaps, even though she got remarried later, at the age that I was when she was single, those were like really pertinent times that those gaps needed to be filled. And they were not. So, I know personal experience what it's like as an adult realizing that was supposed to be my dad right there. When you come into the knowledge of, okay, this was supposed to be my dad. Now, what does this have to do with Samson 2025? Because there's an epidemic. There is like a whole pandemic of men who believe they are the prize and they're supposed to be chased. And that is backwards. That is so wrong. And like I said at the beginning of this podcast episode, I understand why y'all are saying y'all are the prize, because y'all are tired of women running all over y'all. But here's my thing. When I was growing up, I don't remember men letting women run all over them. So how is it men have become so passive now that women are the aggressors? It's because over the years, there's no man in the home to give an example of how a man is supposed to stand and stand firm in his decision making and stand firm with what he says. And when I say stand firm, I mean not that wavering back and forth, because in James chapter 1, the Bible tells us, let me get down. James chapter 1, the Bible tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, verse 5, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That's why I had to read all them verses, because a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways, man or woman. When you make a decision, you stick with it. Men aren't doing that anymore, especially when it comes to women. Y'all are letting women run all over y'all, and it's time for y'all to wake up out of that. Like, don't listen. A woman does not want a man that she can run all over. And if she does, then she's a manipulator. And she needs to go to therapy too. Everybody, at this point, everybody needs to go to therapy. Everybody needs to go to the cross and get Jesus. And then when you leave from Calvary, where Jesus was went to the cross, you need to go to the couch. You need to go to the therapist's couch and find a therapist that know the word of God, because that makes all the difference too. Y'all, let me tell you something. I've had to walk away from a very handsome guy, but he was hurt so bad, and I wonder if he's listening to this. Anyway, so he was hurt so bad, and the thing is, we went to school together, and very nice guy, very handsome, like, you know, all the bells and whistles, you know, tall, like I said, handsome, intelligent, blah, 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 blah. Whatever. All of that stuff don't even matter. Listen, when somebody disturbing your peace, none of that stuff matter. None of it. Okay? I don't want my peace disturbed. Listen, I do not want my peace disturbed. So I will be by myself, but take my peace. Listen, I would rather have peace than have a man. And that is crazy, and I can't believe I just said it. But yeah. I would rather have peace than have a man. Because what good is that going to do if you ain't got no peace in your household and all y'all doing is arguing and causing chaos? That's crazy. So anyway, he and I have been friends over the years, and we check in from time to time with each other and talk or whatever. And he was telling me about his relationships that he would be in at the time that we would talk, you know. And these women were just running all over him. And I'm just looking at him like, I know you weren't raised that way. And he came from a two-parent household. His parents are still together, been married forever. But these women took advantage of him so bad that it has messed with his mind. So I actually found myself in a situationship with him for a little bit. And the Lord was like, yeah, you gonna stop that. And I was like, yes, sir, and bounced. But the thing is, he didn't trust me. He didn't trust me. And I'm sitting here like, I don't need anything from you. I'm not asking for anything. But I find it funny how when you were with these women who took advantage of you, you gave them the world. I'm not asking you for anything, and you looking at me like I'm trying to shank you or something. Like, I didn't understand because of the hurt, the trauma. And what I'm seeing is a lot of men are walking away from the women God has put in their life to help them. They're walking away from them and going right back to the little city girls, or going back to the women who are complaining about being taken to the Cheesecake Factory. Y'all, let me tell you something. You will never catch me complaining about going to the Cheesecake Factory. The guy that I was going to marry at the end of 2021, and I know if you know me personally, that's a shock to your ears. Yeah, because nobody was supposed to know we were going to do it. Like, surprise. Ha, ha, ha. Surprise was on us. Broke up after 3 months. But anyway. So he took me to a hole-in-the-wall spot for Valentine's dinner. Like, I mean, I was dressed to the nines. Y'all, I was cute. Dressed to the nines. He took me to a hole-in-the-wall spot. I ain't complain. I was like, that, let me tell you something. First of all, that food was good. You will not catch me complaining, especially about a hole-in-the-wall spot, because they usually have the best food. And if you are not from America and you don't know what I'm talking about when I say hole-in-the-wall, this is not like to say that, you know, you're not smart or anything. I just know phrases are different everywhere, like fish and chips. I was like, what's fish and chips? It's fish and French fries. Like, you know. Anyway, so hole in the wall is a rundown looking building. Usually has one way in, one way out. You don't want to be caught there if you're at a party. You don't want to be in a hole in the wall spot at a party, because if something happened, you ain't got no way out of there. Okay? But anyway, when it comes to restaurant eating, when we say a hole in the wall spot, it's usually this place that doesn't look very nice to go into, but I tell you what, they have the best food all the time. They have the best food, hands down. I have not gone to a hole in the wall restaurant that did not have good food. I don't know what it is about a hole in the wall spot, but they have really good food. Anyway, he took me there for a day. Girls now, they will get a whole like following and talk about and rag the dude about why he didn't buy them steak and lobster or what, and laugh the dude to scorn and shame. And some women will literally just go on a date to eat and just ghost the guy. Like, literally treating the men how they treated the women for years. So some of you might be going, well, that's good for them. You know, they shouldn't have been doing that. It's hard to say, because now we got a whole generation of men who think they're the prize and they should be chased. I'm not chasing a man. I'll sit here single. I'll sit here single. Okay? Because that's not what God ordained. God told us, the word of God tells us in Proverbs, is it Proverbs 18 and 22 or is it 22 and 18? I always get it. Y'all. I think it's 18:22. Yep. Whoso findeth the wife findeth. Whoso findeth the wife findeth the good thing and obtain a favor of the Lord. How do you obtain favor of the Lord? Because you found a wife. The wife isn't supposed to find you. So when a man tells me that he's the prize, oh, you must be the wife. Why are you perpetuating that, guys? Like, what are y'all thinking? I don't understand. Y'all getting these relationships, but that's okay, because we're going to go to the scriptures that I really wanted to go to. Judges 13 is about Samson. This is where the account of Samson starts. I'm going to summarize it, okay? Basically, Samson's mama, his dad's name is Manoah. I really like that name, Manoah. But his mom was barren, okay? But the angel of the Lord, and this is a Christophany, and I talked about that in previous episodes. Christophany is where you have an appearance of Christ, but it's not saying it's Christ. They call it angel of the Lord. But there are clues in the scripture that shows us that this is Jesus himself. Because if you go to, there's so much to cover. Anyway, I'll get to that part in a minute. Okay, so it was the angel of the Lord. But like I said, I believe from the details, the context clues in the scripture, that this is actually Jesus. Because one, Lord is all the four letters of the word Lord is capitalized. And you see that when Jesus is on the scene. You also see that in Genesis says Lord God. If it was just God, let's say just God. But Lord God is usually referred to Jesus. So Jesus is throughout the whole Old Testament. You just have to know where to look, which is, he's all up in there, okay? Anyway, so his mom was barren, and the angel of the Lord appeared to her, told her, you're going to have a son. You will conceive, bear a son, says in verse 3. And gave her a whole list of, like, instructions, okay? Like, she didn't have a high-risk pregnancy. She just had a high-maintenance pregnancy, okay? Like, she had a very high maintenance pregnancy. Because in verse 4 it says, now therefore beware. He gave her a warning. He said, beware. I pray thee, drink not wine nor strong drink. Eat not any unclean thing. For you shall conceive and bear a son. No razor shall come on his head. For the child shall be a Nazarite unto God from the womb. He shall begin to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. So like, she got a whole like, list the thing, like, don't do this, don't do that, don't do that, don't, just don't, okay? So she goes and tells Manoah, her husband, what happened. So Manoah prayed and was like, okay, Lord, like, he entreated the Lord and said, oh, my Lord, let the man of God, which you did send, come again unto us and teach us. And notice it said man of God, okay? Man of God. At first it was angel Lord, now it's a man of God. See that? Let the man of God, which you did send, come again unto us and teach us that we shall do unto the child that shall be born. And God hearkened to the voice of Manoah, and the angel of God came again unto the woman as she sat in the field. But Manoah, her husband, was not with her. So she ran and got him, and then he came. She told him, she said, look, he came back again. So they both ran back out there. And he said, now, please tell me, what are we supposed to do with this child? The angel of the Lord said unto him, okay, everything that I told her to beware of and be cautious of, like, she can't eat anything that comes of the vine, neither let her drink wine or strong drink, nor eat any unclean thing. All that I commanded her, let her observe. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, I pray thee, let us detain thee until we shall have made ready a kid for thee. And the angel of the Lord said unto Manoah, though thou detain me, I will not eat of your bread. And if you will offer a burnt offering, you must offer it unto the Lord. With all four letters capitalized. For Manoah knew not that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto the angel of the Lord, what is your name? that when your sayings come to pass, we may do thee honor. And the angel of the Lord said unto him, why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it a secret? Now, mind you, Daniel knew it was the man Gabriel. Okay? Zacharias, John the Baptist's daddy. He knew it was, Gabriel told him, he said, I'm the messenger of God. He said, I'm Gabriel, the messenger of God. I came straight from the throne. The angels told them who they were. They knew who they were, the name. This angel did not. His name was Secret. So why askest thou thus after my name, seeing it a secret? Because it was Jesus. All right, so so anyway, Manoah made a sacrifice, okay? And offered unto the rock unto the Lord, verse 19. And the angel did wondrously, and Manoah and his wife looked on, for it came to pass when the flame went up toward heaven from off the altar, that the angel of the Lord ascended in the flame of the altar. And Manoah and his wife looked on it and fell on their faces to the ground. So they're worshiping the angel. Angels don't let you worship them. They don't let you worship them. Because no, they don't let you worship them. They worship this one because it was Jesus. But the angel of the Lord did no more appear to Manoah to his wife. Then Manoah knew that he was an angel of the Lord. And Manoah said unto his wife, we shall surely die because we have seen God. Since when somebody seen an angel and said they seen God? Because that was Jesus, okay? So, Christophany. So, anyway, she's pregnant. She has Samson. Y'all, Samson was so disobedient to his parents. Because the rule was they were not supposed to, Israelites were not supposed to marry outside of Israelites. They weren't supposed to do that. They're not supposed to marry women from other backgrounds. Okay? Samson chased them women down. And that's what I'm seeing. I'm seeing so many men, men who grew up in the church, men who know what the expectation are, the expectations are, they are chasing after women of the world. These silly captive women, they chasing after them and they're getting burnt. They're getting their hearts broken. They're getting towed up from the flow up. They getting taken for everything they got. And their hearts become so hard that when a woman of God shows up, a woman that God has positioned for him to take and marry, they have shut their heart off and refuse. Or either they treat her so bad, now she got trauma. He done passed his trauma on to her. And it's a perpetual cycle and it needs to stop. Like, this is insane work. Y'all, I'm on the dating app reading the descriptions. I'm like, what is going, like, who hurt you? You need to go to therapy. I ain't here for the foolishness and the drama. If you got this going on, I don't want to talk to you. What? Why are you here? Why are you on this app? What are you doing? Y'all, Samson. If you know anything about Samson, Samson was a strong man. Samson took the skull. What was it? The skull of a donkey? I think he took the skull of a donkey and he killed like 300, 400 people like that with the skull of a donkey. Then he tied fox tails together. Don't ask me how many foxes. He set them all on fire and they ran through the field. I'm like, how do you gather that many foxes to even tie their tails? Y'all, Samson was a bad man. And he knew it. He was prideful. He was arrogant. And he was a ladies' man. Samson was a whole ladies' man. He was Rico Suave out here, okay? He was like, I ain't listening. No, no. Listen. In Judges chapter 14. And Samson went down. This is the first verse. And Samson went down to Timnath and saw a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. The Philistines, the ones that David was fighting Goliath. Yes, the Philistines. He's supposed to be consorting with them. But guess what he did? Verse 2. He came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. What? going over there, negotiate a deal so I can marry her. His father and mother said unto him, is there never a woman? Obviously, he been chasing women outside of their heritage for a very long time. Said, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren or among my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. Verse 4, but his father and his mother knew not that it was of the Lord, that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So this was actually ordained of God. Like, God allowed this. And Samson, because he was a Nazirite, like, I have to go back and look at a Nazirite. Let me look right now. Okay, so a Nazirite was an Israelite consecrated to the service of God under vows to abstain from alcohol, let their hair grow, and avoid defilement by contact with corpses. That's, you can find all of that in number 6. Person who took a vow to dedicate themselves to God for a specific period, separating themselves from certain things and practices. This vow detailed in number 6 involved in standing firm, wine and grape products, refraining from cutting their hair, and avoiding contact with dead bodies. I don't know why they would want to be. I guess they couldn't go to funerals and stuff. The vow symbolized a state of holiness and devotion to God. Let's see. So he had long hair. Okay. You might have heard about Samson having a long hair. Yes, he had long hair. And of course, we all know the infamous tale of him and Delilah, all right? And it's not a tale, it's the account of him and Delilah. So, the thing is, Samson, oh goodness. Samson knew that if his hair was cut, the Lord is speaking to me real quick. The Holy Spirit is speaking to me. Okay, Samson knew that if his hair was cut, he was going to lose his power. That's where his strength came from. Samson was abnormally strong. The Lord used him mightily. He was a judge of Israel. He was a judge. And he judged Israel for 20 years, okay? So, Samson's hair was long. He gets with Delilah. In Judges chapter 16. And Delilah is being bribed by the leaders of the Philistines. And they're like, find out from him. Because Samson loved Delilah. So they're like, hey, if you find out how he's so strong, if you find out what his weakness is, then we'll give you 1,100 shekels. Now, I don't know how many leaders. Oh, not 1,100 shekels, 1,100 pieces of silver, excuse me. But I don't know how many leaders there were, because it doesn't give a specific number. It just says the Philistine, lords of the Philistines came up to her. But it said, we will give you, every one of us, 1,100 pieces of silver. So that means if it was 10 of them, no, that's too much math. if it was 5 of them, I can do that one. That was going to be 5,500 pieces of silver. So if it was 9 of them, it was going to be 9,900 pieces of silver. Okay? Like, she was going to get paid a lot of money. Notice in the Bible, I know definitely in this case and with the betrayal of Jesus, silver was involved. Okay? So Delilah asked Samson, what makes you so strong? Samson tells her two times something different. The first time he tells her, if you bind me, if you bind me up with seven green withes that were never dried, I guess that's like vines or something. If you bind me with those, I shall be weak as any other man. So the lords of the Philistines brought her the stuff and she put it on them. And there were men waiting because they won't get them. She had let them in the house. See, oh gosh. Guys, if you are going to court a girl, find out what kind of company she keep. She got men all up in her house. Some of y'all guys, y'all walk in with your eyes wide open. You walk in with your eyes wide open. And I, like, this whole episode is dedicated to the men, because I got to help my brothers out, because I don't understand what's going on. I don't understand what's happening. I talk about the girl stuff all the time, but I wanted to dedicate this episode to the guys, because wake up. Y'all know she was for the streets to begin with. Why you go after her thinking that wasn't your ministry? That's not your ministry, sir. That's not your ministry. You let Jesus take care of her and position her. You don't go out in the street and try and drag her out the street. No. No. That's not how this goes. No. You can't give somebody the world when they mind can only deal with the city. You can't do it. You cannot do it. And I see y'all trying to, I don't know what it is, if it's an ego thing, if y'all see a girl out there just, I'm a teacher, you know what, I'm a help her out, I'm a help her get on her feet and stuff, and y'all better start rescuing people who don't ask you to help them be saved. Stop trying to rescue people who didn't ask for your help. If they don't ask for help, you pray for them and keep it moving. And when I say pray for them, I'm not saying like prayer is the least you can know. That's the absolute most that we can do for anybody. That's probably the best thing we can do for anybody, because I know for me, every time I try to get involved, I mess stuff up. Mess me up, mess that person up, mess everything up. So I just pray. And if the Lord leads me to go and extend help, then that's when I go. But see, a lot of our problem is that we want to just go ahead and run out and do stuff, and we didn't ask God what we're supposed to do. Just like I told y'all week before last, the guy jumped in my inbox, and it was somebody we never met face to face. But I knew him because he worked with my mom for a little bit. And he jumped in my inbox, and I'm like, okay, we have a really good conversation or whatever. And he said he was going to be home, during the week of the 4th of July. And I was like, okay, cool. So maybe we're going to get some ice cream. He said, all right, that's bet. And as soon as we got done talking, I said, I done went through this too many times. I should know how this going to roll if I keep going like this. So I went right to my Heavenly Father, Lord, Father, God. If he not supposed to be here, please move him out of the way, because I don't need any kind of distractions in my life. We don't need the distractions, because we finally by ourselves. Miss me and you time, Lord. It's me and you time. And I'm sorry I've been keeping you waiting for so long, but it's finally me and you. So being that it's finally me and you, I don't want to let no distractions come in between me and you now. So if he ain't supposed to be here, just move him out of the way, y'all. I still ain't heard back from him. And to be quite honest, I forgot about him. It was like 4th of July, and I said, I was supposed to be doing something today. I said, wait a minute. What happened to him? He never responded. He never said he was here. He never said anything. He just went like AWOL. And guess what? I was like, huh. I said, dog, that was easy. I need to do that more often. Go to God first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay? All right. So, I really feel like it's a pride thing, though. I really feel like it's a pride thing because we feel that we can handle it. Oh, it's just, she's not doing it. It be the littlest people that got the biggest demons in them. it be the ones that you least expect that got the biggest demons in them. And they whoop your behind and you wasn't even expecting that. You be like, what in the world? You ever had somebody come to your life? You let somebody in your life, and by the time you got rid of them, you were so jacked up, messed up, thrown down. You felt like you had been in 18 rounds of a fight with Tyson, with Mike Tyson. You got your behind handed to you like, what in the world? Disrupt your peace, stole your joy, took all your patience with them. Like, you ain't had, you got more gray hair in your head. You got more gray hair in your head than when you first met the person. Like, where all this gray hair come from? Stress. Stress. For what? When you could have just went to the Lord first and said, Lord, if this person ain't supposed to be here, move them out my life right now. Hide me. Hide me. So that way they can't find me no more if they're not supposed to be here. And he'll do it. I'm a living witness. It just happened. But see, Samson, he kept playing around with Delilah. Some of y'all playing around with Delilahs and they about to take you for everything you got. You better get out. You better get out. You better get out. I'm telling you. So she went to him again. She was like, oh my gosh, you don't love me. You don't love me. Because if you love me, you would have told me, why did you do that? You don't trust me. So she asked him again. And in verse 10, she said, behold, you have mocked me and told me lies. Verse 11, he said unto her, if they bind me fast with new ropes that never were occupied, then shall I be weak as with another man, as other men. So basically, if you put brand new ropes on me, I'll be weak. Like, come on, I don't even believe that one. So she took new ropes and bound them and said unto him, the Philistines be upon thee, Samson. And there were liars in wait, abiding in the chamber. Still got him in a house. And he break them from off his arms like a thread. Verse 13, and Delilah said unto Samson, hitherto thou hast mocked me and told me lies. Tell me wherewith you might be bound. And he said unto her, if you weave 7 locks of my head with the web. And she fastened it with the pin and said unto him, the Philistines be upon you. And he awaked out of his sleep and went away with the pin of the beam and with the web. And she said unto him, how can you say I love you? That's that T right there. How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? Fellas, let me tell y'all something. The women are the keepers of your heart. Women, let me tell you something. Don't play with a man's heart. I know we always hear about how men shouldn't mess with a woman's heart. You know, don't break her heart and stuff like that. Women can withstand a heartbreak. Oh my gosh, don't get me wrong now. Them things hurt. I think everybody done went through that. Everybody is thinking right now, everybody is thinking of that one person who really took you through it and broke your heart into a million pieces. Everybody has that one person. Everybody got a story. You thinking about it right now, right? Uh-huh. Okay. So, it's something about when a woman, it has a man's heart, though. I've seen it. The most cold-hearted man, when he fall in love and that woman got his nose wide open and she got his heart, he will move mountains for her. I have yet to experience a man do that for me, but I know it's coming in Jesus' name. So a man who has given his heart to a woman, has entrusted her with his heart, that is a, listen, that's why you can't give your heart to a man or a woman. You got to give your heart to Jesus first. You give your heart to Jesus, he'll protect your heart. He'll cover your heart. He'll cover it. But I will say this. By design, and the Holy Spirit showed me this a couple of years ago. By design, a lot of men are out here struggling to breathe because you're trying to cover a rib that wasn't meant to fit your rib cage. And a lot of women are out here left exposed because they don't fit the rib cage that they were put into. So I'm going to let y'all sit on that for a couple of seconds. The rib cage covers and protects the heart. So if you have a fractured rib, if you have a rib that does not fit your rib cage, it's going to puncture your heart. It's going to puncture your, you're going to get stabbed in the heart by the rib that you chose to put there. Because every woman is a rib. I mean, if you look at it like that, every woman is a rib. I mean, I heard my coworker trip me out. She said every pot has a lid. And I said, you know what? You're right. Or she said, there's a lid for every pot. And I was like, that makes so much sense. It makes so much sense. Seriously, think about it. If you get the wrong size rib onto the rib cage, it's going to stab your heart. It ain't going to fit. It's not going to fit. It's going to do damage. A lot of y'all guys are out here trying to put the wrong size rib to your rib cage. And you are injuring yourself. And you know why you're injuring yourself? Because you chose that rib. You chose that rib. Because if you go back to Proverbs 18 to 22, he who findeth a wife, a rib, your rib, you chose her. Despite what a lot of people would say, Adam chose Eve. God presented Eve to Adam. He had to pick her. I'm just saying, you don't have to pick the person that you find attractive. Like, she may look good on the outside, but God looks at the heart. You didn't even go to your father to ask him if she was her. Is that her? He gonna tell you no. But see, we don't go to God the Father to ask about the people that we're choosing because we don't want to hear no. We ought to, every single guy that I entertained royally and messed up my life for no reason, every single one of them I knew automatically off top, I'm not supposed to be with this person. You already know. You already know. You just don't want to go to God the Father because you don't want to hear the word no, because you want what you want. Just admit it. Just go ahead and be honest. You want what you want and you don't want to wait. Your flesh wants to. I had one dude tell me today on the, I told y'all on Facebook date now. He inboxed me and said, you just what I'm looking for. I said, am I? Do you even know who I am? He said, no. Do you like this, and this? I said, no, I don't. Well, it's okay, because I'm a man of God. Are you really? Because I feel like you're walking in the flesh. I feel like you're a man of the flesh. You're talking about, I like what I see. Oh, you seeing with your fleshly eyes. You need to get out my inbox. Yep. You see, prove my point. You like what you see, but is that person who you're supposed to be with? And I'm pretty sure the answer is going to be no. I'm not saying God is going to match us up with somebody ugly. Absolutely not. I just, no. And everybody is, look, when we go by, I got to get off of here. When you go by looks, everybody is attractive to somebody. There's a lid for every pot. Somebody is attractive to somebody. Like, that person may not be as attractive. You may not be as attracted to that person, but I guarantee you there's somebody out here who is. Okay? So there's that. My point is, stop going by just the attraction. What about their heart? What about the character? Are they even smart? Do they know what 2 times 2 is? Are they good with finances? Can they keep up with money? Because if you join yourself to that person and they run through money like water, you gonna be in trouble. Y'all ain't gonna have no house. Y'all gonna have a box. You gonna have a box to stay in on the street. Because you gotta go through a process with people. When you're looking for somebody to join, don't be unequally yoked either. If that person is not a believer, my brothers and sisters in Christ, and I know for my sistering, look, it's to the point where it's like the dudes in the world, look, they're nicer than the men in the church. Because the men, it seems like the men in the church running more women than the dudes out here in the world. We got the Pentecostal Playboys. Okay. We got the Pentecostal Playboys. I can't even think. The Suave Saints. I can't even think of any more nicknames. I can't even think. But Pentecostal Playboys. But you know what I'm saying? Like, it's crazy. It's crazy out here in these streets. But I'm going to tell you right now, men. A lot of y'all got a Delilah, and you laying your head in Delilah's lap, and she trying to take your heart, because this is what got him. How can you say I love you when your heart is not with me? You have mocked me these three times and has not told me wherein your great strength lieth. And it came to pass when she pressed him daily with her words and urged him, his soul was vexed unto death. She got on his everlasting nerves about it. Probably the same equivalent as give me the password to your phone. Okay, anyway. So his soul was vexed unto death that he told her all his heart and said unto her, there hath not come a razor upon my head, for I have been a Nazarite unto God from my mother's womb. If I be shaven, then my strength will go from me and I shall become weak and be like any other man. This is the part I wanted y'all to hear. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all his heart, I gotta read that in the Amplified real quick before I let y'all leave. Well, I'm talking about letting y'all leave. Y'all listening. Verse 18 in the Amplified. And when Delilah saw that he had told her all of his mind, she went and called the Philistine lords. All of the mind, all of the heart. For out of the heart, the mouth speaks. When she saw that, she was like, got him. They came up to her, brought the money in their hand. She made him sleep upon her knees. She called for a man, because you know she had a bunch of them in the house, and she caused him to shave off the seven locks of his head. And she began to afflict him, and his strength went from him. And here's the part, my pastor and one of the elders have preached this, and it's just verse 20. And she said, the Philistines be upon you, Samson. And he awoke out of his sleep and said, I will go out as at other times before and shake myself. And he wist not that the Lord was departed from him. And he knew not that the Lord had left him. A lot of y'all men are linked up with women or have linked up with women that have taken your strength, that have caused you to lose relationship with the Lord. I didn't say lose your salvation. What I'm talking about, lose your relationship with the Lord, meaning they've caused you to separate yourself from the Lord. And you're sitting there confused, hurt, wondering what is going on, why you don't feel it. That's because you separated yourself from God. You went after something that he did not give you the clearance to go after. You're supposed to go after God. He'll position the woman for you, the one that he wants for you. He'll position her. You'll find her because he's going to position her. And she may not come the way you want her. You don't have no idea how God has orchestrated everything. None of us do. None of us do. And you don't know how he's going to do that thing, how he's going to position her, how he's going to have you walk up and boom, there she is, right where she needed to be, right on time. You don't know. Y'all get so eager. And when I say y'all, I'm talking about everybody. We get so eager to have what we want that we will literally sacrifice our relationship with the Lord, our closeness with him, our intimacy with him to have a few moments of satisfaction with somebody. I know from experience. And then you spend months. You'll spend the rest of the year trying to get back to where you were, to get back to where you started. It may not even take, it may take 5 years to get you. You don't know. That's the thing, when the enemy comes in to steal, kill, and destroy, he'll steal time from you. But praise God, the Lord will redeem the time. But it's still one of those things where you really didn't have to do that. Some of y'all need to reevaluate the laps you're laying your head in. Is that the lap you're supposed to have your head in? Or are you supposed to be sitting at the feet of Jesus? I had to get on to say this because it has literally been on my heart. I'm like, what is wrong with my brothers in Christ? What's wrong with these kingdom men? You know, because all the kingdom women sitting here like, we at the park, where are we supposed to be? Where are the men? They're not showing up. That's because the men got their heads in the lap of a Delilah. And y'all need to wake up. And I hope that if you're one of these men who got your head in the lap of a Delilah, I pray that you really, your heart is open to receiving what the Lord has put on my heart to say tonight or today. Because you're holding up your purpose. And one thing I know about the Lord, because I've seen him do it. If you are not in position, God has put a purpose in all of our hearts. He's put purpose in all of us. That's why we're here on earth, to fulfill purpose, to advance his kingdom. Everybody has a purpose. Saved, unsaved, everybody has a purpose. But one thing I know, if you are not in position, he'll get somebody else to do it. You will literally miss. You will watch people get what you were supposed to have. When Jesus told Peter to cast his nets, Peter said, "We've been fishing all night. We ain't catching nothing. But okay, your will, Lord. I'll cast my net." Jesus told Peter to cast his nets. Peter cast a net. That's why the other ships had to come and help, because Peter was disobedient and he did what he wanted to do. And he missed. Those fish were not meant for those ships. Those fish were meant for Peter. But Peter did not do what God told him to do. He would not do what Jesus told him to do. So he had to watch other ships come and receive what was supposed to be all his. Some of you are going to miss out on what God has for you because of your disobedience. You are literally going to watch people collect what God had in place for you to collect because you were out of place. You're going to watch it happen. And you will have nobody to blame but yourself. And God will restore. He'll bring it back around again, but you don't know how long. And in this time period, we don't have time for that. You got to obey the first time. You got to obey immediately. You ain't got time to be messing around and, oh, you was out of place. Okay, well, I'll get in place now and I'll wait. No. It could actually cost you your life at this point in time in the history of the world. It could cost you valuable time. It could cost you money. It could cost you a lot of things that you can't afford to pay out. Y'all, it's serious. Because I'm going to tell you what. The Lord is getting ready to wake these men up. And this is for the women. The Lord is getting ready to wake these men up. Now, ladies, my sister, I know we've been waiting. We've been waiting for these kingdom men, and it's been hard. It's been hard, and it felt like it was never going to come. But there is going to be a time period where the Lord is going to wake these men up out of this satanic slumber that the enemy has had them in, where they couldn't see straight. They were cross-eyed and just looking loopy. The Lord is going to shake them, and they're going to go, oh, I got to go get my wife. You better stay in position, sisters. Don't move. Sisters, don't move. If you move, you're going to miss them. And just like I told the men, just like I told my brethren, the Lord will restore, but how long is it going to take? We don't know. That means you can't afford to miss it the first time. Stay in position, sisters, because it is coming and it's going to happen fast. It's going to be just like them five foolish and five wise virgins. If you go out trying to get oil because you didn't store up and prepare, and you go out to get oil, you're going to miss it. And the Lord, he restores. But at this point in time in history, I don't want to take that risk. I don't want to move out of place. It's uncomfortable and it's annoying. And it's like, oh my gosh. But let me tell you something. If you move out of place, you're going to miss it. Whoo, Jesus. That was for me. Because child, y'all, I already told y'all, it is hard. You getting them text messages for them fools. Hey, what you been doing? I was just thinking about you. What? What you mean you was just thinking about? I ain't heard from you in a month of Sundays, as the old folks say. Just thinking about me. It sound good to somebody that ain't been getting no text messages in a while. But guess what? Guess what? You got to go, wait a minute. What's the purpose of this? What you want? What kind? When you start asking them questions, why you just now texting me after 4 months? I ain't heard from you. I thought you was dead. I thought the Lord had called you home. No. So what's the point of you texting me? When you start asking them questions, watch how fast they disappear. Y'all stay in position. Don't put your head in no Delilah lap, and don't let these fools try to fool you out of your position. Because the enemy, listen, he out for blood, and he trying to make sure we're out of place so we can miss what God is getting ready to bring forth. And we can't afford to be out of place. We can, because I feel it before the year is over with. I feel it. I feel like it's going to be some stuff we're going to see. Some things are probably going to be hard, but I feel like God is doing something. And I'm not just basing it off of what I have heard from the people I know who are prophetic. I feel that in my spirit. And the Lord actually showed me some of this a couple of years ago. I feel that in my spirit. Like, do not miss this, y'all. I know it's hard. I know we want to be held. We want to be loved. We want somebody who understands us, who could pray with us. And you know, oh my goodness. And I get it. But guess what? Over at the grand scheme of things, it really is irrelevant. Because we're here for purpose. We're here to advance the kingdom of God. We're here to go into all the world preaching the gospel of Christ. That's our mission. Being in a marriage and all of that stuff, that's great. And that is a ministry within itself. However, that's not our main focus. Our focus is to get the word out to those who are lost. That's our focus. That is our goal. That's our mission. All right, y'all, I am way over. I hope y'all receive some, because this was a blessing to me. But y'all will probably hear this in about an hour, because it's 11 o'clock now. So I will talk to y'all later. I hope y'all have a great week. And yeah, love y'all. Bye.